Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and hello, 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 my fabulous friends. Welcome to the all-new, totally exciting season of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. I am your host, Chloe Dilly, and I'm back older, wiser, and more thrilled than ever to showcase the most amazing talents and inspiring stories from all around. This season is going to be an absolute blast. We're talking epic talents, heartwarming journeys, and maybe a few surprises along the way. Whether you're here to be inspired, entertained, or just have some fun, you're in the right place. So, grab your headphones, turn up the volume, and get ready to smile, laugh, and maybe even dance a little. Because this is Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Let's make some magic together.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents, your go-to podcast for stories that inspire, entertain, and connect. I'm Chloe Dilly, and today we're continuing our Best of 2025 series with even more unforgettable moments from last year's interviews. If you missed part 1 and 2, go check them out right now. They're bangers. Now, let's dive right in. Let's kick things off with the best moments of the interview with Jody Keehan. Her insights on music, creativity, resilience left a lasting impression on all of us. Let's hear what she has to say.
Kia ora and welcome to a very special episode of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Today I have the honour of introducing not just a remarkable guest, but one of the most gifted, humble and kind-hearted people I've ever met. She is the heartbeat of Christchurch Musical Youth, a deeply respected Christchurch School of Music teacher, a powerful mentor, a passionate performer, a calm encourager, a master of so many instruments, it feels like magic. From helping students like me fall in love with music, she gives her all, every day. Her lessons go beyond music. They build confidence, kindness, and connection. Her humour is joyful, her talent is endless, and her care for her students are absolutely priceless. I truly wouldn't be the saxophonist I am without her. Her guidance has been one of the greatest gifts in my life, and I know so many students who feel the same. Please join me in giving the warmest and most heartfelt welcome to the extraordinary Jody Keehan.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi. Jody, can you tell our listeners a bit about you and who you are and what you do?
I'm from Invercargill, for a start. Yes. So born and bred Southlander. I started music when I was a little kid. I was 7 years old and I heard a clarinet played and all I wanted to do was play the clarinet from there on in. And I was too little, so I had to bide my time and play the recorder. I just fell in love with music and I've always, it's kept me busy. It kept me busy as a kid and now it's keeping me busy as an adult.
What inspired you to start playing music and what was your very first instrument?
Well, it was the clarinet. Well, actually, no, it wasn't. It was the recorder. Probably everybody's first instrument is actually their voice.
Interesting.
I know. I tried to play piano. That was a disaster. It wasn't good. It's not my instrument.
How many instruments can you play now? And do you have a favorite?
I think. Well, actually, my favorite is the voice because it's the one that I can carry everywhere. So at the moment, I play and teach clarinet and saxophone. I can play all the saxophones. I play baritone saxophone in the Garden City Big Band. I'm teaching myself flute. I'm okay at it. I'm average. Lots of other instruments, like ukulele, and yeah, you know, I just dabble. I can play a bit of drums, and yeah, but the instruments that I'm good at are clarinet and saxophone.
What kind of music did you grow up listening to?
My grandparents grew up in wartime, and they listened to Glenn Miller and all that kind of thing. So I grew up listening to big band music. But I also grew up listening to, my father was actually a singer and sang Gilbert and Sullivan type operettas and things. So I grew up listening to a lot of things. I'm from Invercargill, and as most people know, Southland is well known for its country music. It's not something I've ever done, but, you know, obviously when I grew up, there was a lot of different music around me. I also really, really liked the radio. I was a huge fan of commercial radio and would sit in front of the 3-in-1 stereo ready to hit record on the cassette player to record my favourite songs on the top 40. So, yeah, so I've always had lots of music around me. My own listening is very eclectic, everything from heavy metal to country to classical to big band, you name it.
Who are your biggest role models as a young musician and educator?
My first clarinet teacher was huge, because he was a marvellous man. His name was Murray Johnson, and he was just a fabulous clarinet player. And then there were, in Invercargill, I went to the out-of-school music classes, which were on Saturday mornings, and probably the next biggest influence was the Stewart family, which was Max Stewart, who was at the time the music education person for Southland. And he was, Max and Ruth were really influential for a lot of people like me of my age that were in Southland at the time. You know, they ran the, or they started the Southland Youth Orchestra and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, they were huge.
Sounds fun. Do you remember your very first performance? And if you do, what was it like?
I don't think I can remember my very first performance, but I can remember one really memorable performance where I was playing in a big band and just everything went right. And I was like, I was a kid. I would have been maybe about 15. And I just remember coming off the stage. We were playing for a thing called the Festival of the Oyster. Would you believe? So there was a, which I think the Southland Oyster Festival still happens, but it was the Festival of the Oyster was a big thing, and it was just new. And there were a whole bunch of other people coming down to perform at it, but they also had like a local aspect of it. And I played saxophone for the Crazy Rhythm Big Band and did a really good solo. But that Festival of the Oyster, the other sorts of people that were performing were Peking Man, which was Margaret Ehrlich, or Billy T. James was there. There was, I think, Rob Guest was there. And actually that was another memorable performance, was getting up with my saxophone, and a friend of mine, she just barged on. And actually Roger Fox's sister said, "Come on!" And we got up and we played backing music behind Rob Guest, who is quite well known, back, you know, was well known back in the 80s, and we just made it up. But we were playing to, like, you know, the heat is on, and playing the saxophone riff like the ba da 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 ba da 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 ba da ba da da da. But we just kind of invited ourselves. We weren't actually part of the band. We just got up and did it, and we played in the performance. So it was really funny.
Yeah. What kind of music do you most love teaching your students?
I love teaching them anything that they want to play. So, you know, we start off with your basic sort of, you know, nursery rhymes and folk songs and things. But then later on, I love it when somebody says, "Oh, I really want to play a Coldplay song," or, you know, or "I really want to." I've got one student at the moment that yeah, we hadn't had a lesson for a while, and the first thing he said was, "I want to play in the mood." I'm like, "Yeah, cool. That's great." So, yeah, whatever the student wants to play, I'm really happy to help them. So, like, with you, Chloe, you know, you wanted to go busking. So you and I worked on a repertoire of songs that we knew would be user-friendly to the audience, but also things that that you wanted to play, that actually made you feel really good about playing, and that you felt confident playing in front of an audience. So that's what, you know, sparks me. when it comes to picking the music for my students.
Yeah. What is your favourite music genre to perform in, jazz, classical or pop?
Jazz.
Can you explain a bit more, please?
No, I'm just going to say jazz. Okay. Just jazz. Yeah, no, jazz is cool. It's because it encompasses quite a few things. Like I like singing jazz. I like skating and doing that sort of thing. But I also love I love playing in a big band, like a jazz swing big band. You know, we have a big band festival in Christchurch every year.
Yeah.
So I love that. It's because for me, being a band kid or being a musician, I wasn't good at sport. I tried, but I was very short-sighted, so my spatial awareness was rubbish and people would throw a ball at me and it would hit me in the face. So I always found that my tribe or my sport, my team, was music. And that's why I like playing big band music, because a big band is like being in a sports team.
What's the most challenging part about playing live music?
Trying not to make mistakes. Or actually, no, the most challenging part for me is not making a face so the audience knows that I've made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's something I've always done. I'll have a face that gives it all away. Always have. It's quite funny.
Yeah. You're a phenomenal teacher at the Christchurch School of Music. What do you love most about teaching?
Thank you for calling me phenomenal. I wouldn't necessarily say that myself. I'm hopefully a solid teacher who gets the basics across. But the thing I love about teaching is when you see the aha moment, the light bulb moment for students, when they might have been trying to do something and then suddenly, all of a sudden, their tone is right, or suddenly they can sight read music without making lots and lots of mistakes and without having to double think every note, and they can just look at the music and they can play it. And that sort of thing is just so exciting for me.
What is the Outreach Band program and what is your role as the coordinator?
The Outreach Band program is a division of the Christchurch School of Music. So we have a strings program. I'm the coordinator of the Outreach Band program, and we use a series of tutor books called Essential Elements, which is actually based on an American band program. So in the States, band is actually a class. So you would take band like you would take French or, you know, something like that. So so the band program is a concert band program, which means that it's the instruments that make up that. It's brass instruments like your trumpets, your trombones. Then you've got your woodwind instruments, so clarinet, saxophone, flute. Then you've got your percussion instruments, so like all your mallet percussion, your glockenspiels, your dinka 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 ones, and your xylophones, and but all your drums, your snare drums, all that kind of thing too. So it's based on that kind of thing, and it's really so that if you've got a string program and a band program, you can put them together and suddenly you've got a whole orchestra.
Yeah, wow, that sounds really cool, Jodie. Can you tell us about what Combrio is and what the name means?
So Combrio means with brilliance. Oh, and wow. I took over from another wonderful educator called Marie Parr, started the Outreach Band program at Christchurch School of Music. And the bands were called Training Band and Concert Band and Friday Youth Band, which is great, but it didn't give the band, each of the bands didn't really give it any sort of sense of belonging.
Yeah.
So we decided to call the bands instead. So a couple of years ago we thought, well, da capo means from the beginning. So the training band is now da capo, or the beginning. Tutti, and these are all Italian terms, so a lot of music terms come from Italian. Tutti means together. And the Tutti band, which was concert band, it's all the anybody who's been playing for over a year. So it incorporates, you know, lots of different skills. Then Con Brio, which is the band that you're in, Chloe, is basically, it used to be called Friday Youth Band, but it's playing music that's a little bit more advanced. So we're playing music where you've got to do a lot of listening. You've got a lot of different rhythms happening all at the same time. Like you can have somebody playing like da 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 over the top of digga 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 digga, you know, and that kind of thing, on, yeah. And have lots of harmonies and lots of different, so beautiful timbres, lots of different things in that. And all of the students that play in Con Brio are, you know, they're competent on you. Well, you're competent on your instrument. You are learning all about that higher level of ensemble playing, about articulation, about how to make the notes sound different. And so, you know, they're not all just da, da, da. They're like, you know, there's different ways of playing.
Yeah, like staccato.
Staccato and, yeah, and accents, different accents. So sort of more jazz accents, which is like your hats, things like that, where you're tonguing both ends of the note. There's lots of different skills that you're now doing that the other bands won't necessarily do, because, you know, so it's more advanced. So, yeah, most students in Con Brio would be playing at grade 3 to 5 level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can the students be more advanced, let's say grade 6, but still be in Con Brio?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more about people wanting to play that kind of music. A lot of so we are actually a primary school based program, and we so the band program is band once a week, but also an individual lesson or a lesson for two people together.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, once people leave primary school, then they go to high school, and then they've got a whole lot of other options. But not all high schools have that kind of band, or you know, people might want to play that, you know, prefer to play a type of music which is more of your kind of a little bit pop, but kind of think American marching band. That's basically what we sound like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, you know, and we're doing all sorts of cool things, but yeah, and we'll do Disney tunes, and we'll do things that maybe in high school they might go, that's a bit, why would you want, but so we start off at primary school, but Con Brio, we've actually opened it up, so it's now basically from the age of sort of 10 up to about, you know, 14, 15, 16, because there is a gap there for those students that, or, you know, maybe they're homeschooled, maybe they are at a school where there is no jazz, you know, or there is only a jazz band, but there's not a concert band or an orchestra or whatever, but they're playing a clarinet and they want to. Yeah, you know, usually most high schools don't have clarinet in their big band.
Yeah.
So it means that clarinets can still carry on playing. So you're playing an instrument where you can play in a jazz band,
yeah,
and in a concert band and different things. Not everybody can do that. So yeah. that's the other part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you help students prepare for their music exams?
Well, the first thing I do is I make them play their scales, and they love it. They love it so much.
We love it.
You love playing your scales, don't you, Chloe? but you know, I basically look at I use the exams. So for me, I use Trinity College London. But there's lots of exam boards out there. But basically, I use the curriculum. The graded curriculum is a little bit like, you know, doing tests at school, where you know it's you know that if you can play a certain song that you are at a certain level. So the music that you're practicing at the moment, you're practicing for grade 3 jazz saxophone, which means you're going to be doing some improvising, which is making up your own tunes. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of different skills there that you're learning, and you learn them incrementally. So if I'm getting somebody to prepare for an exam, I look at the curriculum, I look at the songs that are available, I look at what I think they're going to enjoy playing, because that's the other thing. You don't want to be stuck for, you know, 6 months or more playing some songs that you're actually really not enjoying.
Yeah.
You know, you got to like the songs. So I match the songs to my student. So not everybody gets the same songs because everybody's different.
Yeah.
And then we work on the, so we start off sight reading it, using our sight reading skills to try and get it as accurate as we can, and then we start building up speed and building up the technical side of it, like any of the extra little twiddly bits, fiddly bits.
Yeah.
Like you with Ben's Blues, and it's got fiddly bits in it that you hadn't played before. And that's the whole thing. That's why grades are really good, because they make you extend what you already know, and you're learning more things.
Next, we're rewinding to the highlight reel from my conversation with Brett Cooper. This was one of those interviews that had everyone talking. Here's why.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents, the show where we uncover the amazing stories and talents of inspiring individuals. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce a very special guest, someone who has decided his life to education, leadership, and making a real difference in our community. Please join me in welcoming the principal of Te Oraka Shirley Intermediate School, Mr. Brett Cooper. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
So, let's dive right in. You've been leading at Te Oraka Shirley Intermediate for a while now, and the school has achieved so much under your guidance. What do you think makes this school such a special place for the students?
I think it's a team effort. Like, we have a staff who really care about students and people in general. And we're also reflective, and we want to get better at what we do. So we're always learning. You know, no one's perfect, yeah, but we're learning, and we want to do our best just so that, you know, we provide a really good education and safe environment for our students.
Yeah. And could you share a bit about the school's vision and values? How do you see these shaping the students' lives?
Yeah, so our values, we have 5 values: fairness, integrity, responsibility, and excellence. So we think they're really important values to have, to live by. So they're a very important part of what we do and how we do things. So, and it's not just for students, you know, teachers need to show, you know, integrity. It's something that underpins everything we do at our school.
Yeah.
And I think if you're doing those things, you're a good person. And our vision is all about learning and being collaborative, and just to help with learning pathways, to enjoy full and satisfying lives. So we want our students to, you know, succeed in society, to be able to have a job that they want, and also just to be good people and to live a life which is full and satisfying, and part of that is looking after other people as well. It's not just about being selfish and doing everything for yourself. So, yeah, that's a very important part of who we are.
What do you do to maintain strong communication with parents? How do you newsletters, events, and other methods bring the school and families close together?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think a key part is together, and we do find at intermediate level that parents probably don't come in as much once students are a bit older. And so, you know, we try and inform people what's going on in regards to newsletters, just keep them up to date for those that can't come in. But we also have a lot of events, fun events and things that, you know, we do invite parents to come in to be a part of what's happening. And also just whakanui in regards to learning, so that we have these times when people come into school and they see their students work and celebrate what they've learnt for the term. So, yeah, we're really excited about what we do, and that's how we engage people. And, you know, people can pop in at any time.
How does the school encourage students to take part in external education opportunities like the Children's University program?
So we just get things coming through into our school, and it's like, hey, would your students like to be part of this? And what we do is we just like to provide as many opportunities as we can. And, you know, the university is a great initiative, and you know, we're really proud of the students and what they've accomplished. And it gives them a really good understanding of, you know, tertiary education and what to look forward to when they leave school and what they can accomplish.
Enrollment can be tricky for families outside of the school zone. Could you explain the process of enrolling students from outside the zone?
Yeah, that's an interesting situation. So our school hasn't always had a school zone.
Right.
So last year was our first year. So they say anyone who lives within these borders is in zone, and so they can automatically come to your school.
Mm.
Those that are out of zone, obviously, what happens is, I think it's 31st of August is a cut-off time.
Yeah.
And what they do is anyone who enrolls before then is usually guaranteed to get into our school. So we have a maximum of about 200 students.
Yeah.
So what happens is, you know, everyone who enrolls by the 31st of August, usually we might have about 170 or so, so they're all accepted. Then after that, what happens is once we get closer to 200, we might have to email and put on our website that, hey, our school's now at 190. From this time on, we're only going to accept in-zone students.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing is get in early and enrol early. You've got a better chance of getting in. Unfortunately, once we get to around 200, just over, we can't accept any more enrolments. That's how it kind of works.
Tell us about the amazing team you work with. Your deputy principal, office staff, teachers, and even the caretaker who looks after the school's premises. How did they contribute to the school's success?
Yeah, I think it's really important to acknowledge that every person is a vital part of the team. It doesn't matter if you're the principal, it doesn't matter if you're a learning assistant, caretaker, each role is really important and valuable. So, you know, our senior leadership team, Peter, he's fantastic, he does an amazing job and very supportive, comes up with a lot of new initiatives, and Fire Tamara, she also is a learning support coordinator. She does an amazing job supporting our students. Then we have all our wonderful teachers. And, I'm just really proud of our teachers and the work they do to support students. And our learning assistants, which, you know, used to be called teacher aides, they really get alongside students and help them with their work. And, you know, our caretaker, Mr. Walker, he does a lot of great work with our sort of buildings, keeping them running.
Mm-hmm.
And our office staff, got an amazing office staff, very friendly. Fire Bex is the office manager and my PA as well. And we have Audra and Ingrid as well. So, yeah, really good office staff. And caretaker does a great job as well, just keeping it, you know, as I said, keeping our grounds and things tidy. And Tom does grounds as well. He's the main grounds person, so the grounds are looking nice and tidy.
Yeah. What recent achievements at the school are you particularly proud of?
Yeah, as a school, I think our role was around 100. It was going to be around 140 a few years ago, and you know it's not about being a big school, but if your role's going down, schools can struggle with low funding, and it just means you can't do as much. So I've been principal 3 years now, and just the work we've done as a team, our role's gone from provisionally 140 up to over 200. So I'm proud that parents are sending their students to our school.
Yeah.
And that's just because of the really good changes that we've made as a school in regards to our the quality of teaching and learning. Also, the learning environments are safe and calm. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the word's getting out that our school's doing some really good things. So I'm really proud of that, probably mostly proud of that. And also just proud that as a school, our buildings have been updated. We're just about finished. There's still one area to go, but I'm proud that our students get to be in nicer environments for learning. They deserve it. So, you know, they're probably two of the main things that I'm proud about.
Now let's lighten things up with some fun questions. What is the grossest thing that you can think of right now?
Grossest? There's so many. I don't like it, like when food goes off, rotten food, stuff like that. That's pretty gross. Yeah, that's probably the grossest thing.
If you could time travel, where would you go? To the past or to the future, and why?
Yeah, you got some good questions, Chloe.
Thanks.
I think I'm tempted to go back to the past because you can sort of, you know, if you've ever made mistakes, you could change them. Or you could go back to some things that happened in life, I guess, or in the world which you wanted to be a part of. But I think I'd probably choose the future because I think if you go into the future, you can probably see, you know, lots of cool things that are going to happen, but there's probably some things that are going to happen that might not be so cool.
Yeah.
So being able to go to the future, then coming back, you might be able to do something to actually stop it from happening.
Yeah.
So for me, I think I'd probably like to go into the future.
So what's the closest thing to magic in real life, in your opinion?
Magic? I would say being with people that you care about and just sharing moments in life, be it at the beach or just being present with people you care about. I think people are so important, and magic for me is just sometimes it's the smaller things, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge thing, but just sharing those moments with people that you care about would be magic for me. Personally, like, love the beach. Just being by the beach is magic for me. Love water.
Yeah. What would you tell yourself if you can go back in time to your intermediate school days?
Yeah, I don't know how much I should tell you here. No, when I was at intermediate, I loved sport and I got involved in sport and loved that. I did pretty well with my schoolwork, but I think I would probably tell myself to probably work a bit harder with my schoolwork, just realising how important it is. You don't know it at intermediate. You're still sort of starting to grow up and you're quite like, oh, what's life all about? But because of life experience, just how important education is to opening doors and being able to choose a job that you actually want to do. Not having to get a job just to get money, but actually having some choices. So I'd probably tell myself to work really hard on schoolwork.
SpongeBob or Spider-Man?
I don't know, Spider-Man probably. He does some cool stuff and helps people.
Yeah. Bart Simpson or Homer Simpson?
Yeah, probably have to go with Bart. He's got a bit of an attitude. Homer can sort of make a few faux pas and mistakes, which, you know, hey, we all do. But I think he's quite an interesting, got a bit of edge to him.
Yeah. What's the funniest prank you've ever pulled or had pulled on you?
Yeah, I don't think I've actually had many pranks pulled on me. Surprises, I would say I had a 50th birthday. And, had that organised for me, and that was, I didn't know anything about it. So it wasn't a prank, but it's probably the biggest surprise I've had in my life, to be honest, because I just didn't know it was going to happen. So I turned up to a restaurant, and then there was all these people that I work with and friends, and it was just, it was very, not a prank, but it was something that was really special.
If you could instantly learn any language, what would it be and why?
For me, I would probably say Te Reo Māori. I think we are a bicultural nation and it's an important language, and I am and have been learning it. But to be able to speak fluently now would just be so awesome because it's part of who we are. It's part of our country. And my stepdad's part is Māori. I've been very fortunate to grow up in the English world and also Māori. So it's a big part of who I am. And I think to be able to speak fluently would be so cool.
Yeah. Do you like gardening or mowing the lawns, or are you more of a beach person?
I would prefer mowing the lawns. I like, yeah, gardening's a little bit sort of, you're on your knees and digging up and getting weeds out, and lawn mowing's just a little bit more enjoyable, I think, and you sort of sit back and have a good look and the lawns look great.
Yeah. Before becoming principal at Shirley Intermediate, what roles did you have in education or beyond?
I've spent some time in a youth prison, working or teaching with those who have sort of broken the law and are quite young. If they were older, they probably would have ended up in prison. So I did that for a year, which was a good experience. I've had all sorts of jobs. My first job out of school was pushing trolleys, and that was interesting. At the supermarket. I've done labouring jobs. That was really hard work. So I did that over in England when I travelled to England to play sport. And yeah, labouring was in England in cold mornings. It was pretty tough. So that's when I didn't have my qualification to teach. So mm-hmm. I guess that's when you sort of learn, hey, it's really important to learn and get a good job that you enjoy.
Yeah. What makes Te Ōrako Shirley Intermediate such a special place for your students, in your opinion?
I think it's staff and it's the pupils and students themselves. I think, you know, the five values of treating people well, being part of a team, is really important to me. And people belonging, being part of something. Mm-hmm. I don't like the thought of people being left alone.
Yeah.
Not part of something. And I think it's really good to be involved in something bigger than yourself. So working towards, you know, being a better school, being a better person and learning along the way. And none of us are perfect, you know, we all make mistakes, but just learning and wanting to be our best. And for me as principal, I love adding value. Mm. You know, I want to add value to people's lives where I can. And, you know, people add value to my life and you realise how important that is. So, yeah, it is a special place. It's sort of like a whānau, like a family. Yeah. It's a big family. You've been a part of it. You know, you've been part of that whānau and, you know, you've added value to our school as well with initiatives and things that you've done as a leader. And, you know, that's exactly what it's about, which is why I was more than happy to come along today and support what you're doing as well, because it's amazing.
Thank you. How does the school provide its values and how do you see those becoming a part of students' everyday lives?
Yeah, I think our values means basically you're a good person that treats people well. And what's interesting is we're actually looking at refreshing those this year. So we're actually going to be looking at our values and our mission statement just to make sure that it's reflective of our community and addresses and meets the needs of students. So, you know, there could be some exciting changes coming up in regards, you know, just a little few changes here and there, but our current five values just means you treat people well, including yourself. You know, there's a lot of negativity in the world and things, on social media, and you can sort of sometimes maybe get a bit down on ourselves as well. So, you know, being respectful to ourselves, caring for ourselves as well. Because at the end of the day, if you're not in a good place yourself, you know, you might not treat other people that well. So, yeah, I think it's a really important part of helping people and being a better person.
And to wrap up today's episode, we're sharing the most memorable moments from my interview with Chelsea. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one. Welcome to another fun-filled and inspiring episode of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Today, I have an absolutely amazing guest for you, a social worker, an exceptional dancer, a listener to Extraordinaire, and a kind, compassionate human being who makes such a positive difference in the lives of children and families. She is a part of the incredible work at Cholmondeley's Children's Centre and Refocus Organisation, and her talent for dance will leave you speechless. Please join me in giving a big, warm welcome to the one and only Chelsea Turner. Welcome to the show, Chelsea.
Thank you, Chloe. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for your very kind and generous intro.
This looks good. So, Chelsea, let's dive right in. So, you've been involved with Cholmondeley Children's Centre and Refocus Organisation. Could you tell us more about what you do there and why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, sure, Chloe. So I work at Cholmondeley Children's Centre, which is a respite home for kids aged 5 to 12. And I'm part of their outreach team, which supports mostly young people, so mostly teenagers and their whānau in the community. So I get to spend my day visiting families and hanging out with rangatahi, with teenagers, and providing some mentoring services and also trying to create opportunities for them to explore their passions and hobbies. I have a pretty awesome job, Chloe. I love it.
I've heard you're not just a talented social worker, but also an incredible dancer. When did you first discover your love for dance?
Well, that's very generous, Chloe, but I have always done dance for fun in my life on the side. So I actually started dancing when I was only 4 years old. I started doing ballet classes, and I remember my two older sisters always did dance, and I used to go watch them. And as soon as I could, I asked Mum to sign me up for classes. So that's how I started. And then I ended up doing jazz and ballet. Jazz, hip-hop, contemporary, and it kind of all happened from there, Chloe.
That's really cool, Chelsea. Starting with ballet as a little girl must have been magical. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to explore Bollywood dancing later on?
Yeah, so as an adult in the last couple of years, I've started doing Bollywood, which I adore. So one of my really dear friends, her name is Jibby, she does Bollywood, and she was saying, you need to come and join our Bollywood classes. And for a while I was a bit nervous because I'm not Indian to go and try the classes, but she encouraged me to come anyway. And when I went, I just loved it. I loved the Bollywood music and the vibrant dancing, and I've really enjoyed performing at places like Diwali. And
and you're also a contemporary dancer. For those of us who might not know what contemporary dance is, why is it so special to you?
I love contemporary because, it's ballet-based, and I've always loved ballet, but it's a little bit more free than ballet, and you can really express yourself and move in really cool, different, interesting ways. And, yeah, it's just a great way to express yourself, and it's quite freeing. So, yeah.
Aside from your amazing dance talents, you're known for being super positive and a great listener. What other hidden talents or hobbies do you have?
Well, I'm really good at sleeping, Chloe. I don't know if you want to call that a hidden talent, but I can sleep during the day, at nighttime, on planes, on a bus. If I'm feeling tired, I don't even need a bed. I can just fall asleep. So I think that's a pretty cool talent.
Now, for a fun twist, what is the grossest thing that you can think of right now?
Well, right now, a really gross thing that's been bugging me is, I don't know if it's like this at your house, Chloe, but because it's summer, I have heaps of ants in my house, and I hate it because whenever I leave food out or the compost bin, within like 30 minutes, there's ants everywhere, and I find them super gross.
Yeah. Yuck. Okay, but here's a lighter one. What's the closest thing to magic in real life, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, Chloe, I am a Christian, so I think the closest thing to magic is that that we can have a relationship with the creator of the world if we want to. Through prayer and through his forgiveness, we can, you know, be in relationship with him. So I think that's the closest thing to magic in this life.
Yeah. So, if you could have one superpower for one day, what would it be and what would you do with it?
I think superhero power. I think maybe going back in time. I would love to go back in time and just be a fly on the wall and see some of the fashions and the styles and the big moments in history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a wrap on part 3 of our Best of 2025 special.
Thank you so much for joining me on this trip down memory lane. If you've enjoyed these highlights from Chloe Dilley's Seeking Talents, make sure to go listen to the full episode in our archives. And as always, keep seeking those talents because the world is full of amazing stories waiting to be told. Until next time, stay curious and keep shining. Ngā mihi nui.
That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show and want to hear more, head over to planes.org.nz for past episodes. You can also subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get the new episodes delivered right to you. Do you have a talent you'd like to share? I'd love to talk to you. Just email info@planes.org.nz to get in touch. Keep working on your talents. You are amazing. Until next time, bye!